In less than an hour, the Niceville Police Department managed to ID the last person to see the missing kid. He was a shopkeeper named Alf Pennington, who ran a used bookstore on North Gwinnett, near the intersection with Kingsbane Walk. This was right along the usual route the boy, whose name was Rainey Teague, took to get from Regiopolis Prep to his house in Garrison Hills. It was a distance of about a mile, and the 10-year-old, a rambler who liked to take his time and look in all the shop windows, usually covered it in about 35 minutes. Rainey's mother, Sylvia, a high-strung but level-headed mom who was struggling with ovarian cancer, had the kids' after-school snack, ham and cheese and pickles, all laid out in the kitchen at the family home in Garrison Hills. She was sitting at her computer, poking around on Ancestry.com with half her attention on the front door, waiting, as always, for Rainey to come bouncing in, glancing now and then at the time marker on the taskbar. It was 3:24, and she was picturing her boy, the child of her later years, adopted from a foster home in Sallytown after she had endured years of fruitless in vitro treatments. A pale blonde kid with large brown eyes and a gangly way of going, given to sudden silences and strange moods. She's seeing him in her mind as if from a helicopter hovering just above the town. Niceville, spread out beneath her, from the hazy brown hills of the Belfair Range in the north, to the green thread of the Tulip River as it skirts the base of Tallulah's Wall and, widening into a ribbon, bends and turns through the heart of town. Far away to the southeast, she can just make out the low coastal plains of marsh grass, and beyond that, the shimmering sea. In this vision, she sees him trudge along, his blue blazer over his shoulder, his stiff white collar unbuttoned, his gold and blue school tie tugged loose, his Harry Potter backpack dragging on his shoulders, his shoelaces undone. Now he's coming to the rail crossing at Peachtree and Cemetery Hill. Of course, he looks both ways. And now he's coming down the steep tree-lined avenue beside the rocky cliff that defines the Confederate graveyard. Rainey. Minutes from home. She tapped away at the keyboard with delicate fingers like someone playing the piano. Her long black hair in her eyes, her ankles primly crossed, erect and concentrated, fighting the effects of the OxyContin she took for the pain. She was on Ancestry because she was trying to solve a family question that had been troubling her for quite a while. At this stage of her research, she felt that the answer lay in a family reunion that had taken place in 1910 at Johnny Mulrine's plantation near Savannah. Sylvia was distantly related to the Mulrines, who had founded the plantation long before the War of Secession. Later, she told the uniformed cop who caught the call that she got lost in that ancestry search for a bit. Time drifting, she said. One of the effects of OxyContin. And when she looked at the clock again, this time with a tiny ripple of concern, it was 3:55. Rainey was 10 minutes late. She pushed her chair back from her computer desk and went down the long main hall towards the stained glass door with the hand-carved mahogany arches and stepped out on the wide stone porch. A tall, slender woman in a crisp black dress, silver at her throat, wearing red patent leather ballet flats. She folded her arms across her chest and craned to the left to see if he was coming along the oak-shaded avenue. Garrison Hills was one of the prettiest neighborhoods in Niceville, and the sepia light of old money lay upon it, filtering through the live oaks and the gray wisps of Spanish moss, shining down on the lawns and shimmering on the roofs of the old mansions up and down the street. There was no little boy shuffling along the walk. There was no one around at all. No matter how hard she stared, the street stayed empty. She stood there for a while longer, her mild concern changing into exasperation, and after another 3 minutes, into a more active concern though not yet shifting into panic. She went back inside the house and picked up the phone that was on the antique sideboard by the entrance, hit button 3, and speed-dialed Rainey's cell phone number, listened to it ring, each ring ticking up her concern another degree. She counted 15 and didn't wait for the 16th. She pressed the disconnect button, then used the number 4 speed dial key to ring up the registrar's office at Regiopolis Prep and got Father Casey on the third ring, who confirmed that Rainey had left the school at 2 minutes after 3. Part of the usual lemming stampede of chattering boys in their gray slacks and white shirts and blue blazers with the gold thread crest of Regiopolis on the pockets. Father Casey picked up on her tone right away and said he'd head out on foot to retrace Rainey's path along North Gwinnett all the way down to Longreach Boulevard.